Wow, so if you, we've just been having amazing times in God's presence. I tell you, the presence of God is what it's all about, folk. If you read the Bible from start to finish, you find this one beautiful thing about God is that He wants to presence Himself among His people. And He wants us to be distinct from anyone else on the face of the earth by that one thing, that God is with us. If you have God with you, you can do anything. If God is for you and God is with you, you're a majority. You've got all authority with you. You've got all power. You've got everything you need with you. And so, folk, it's always been God's intention to want to dwell with Adam and Eve, the people that He's made. As sin separates us from God. And God has shown us throughout the Scriptures that He's always wanted to be with us. Shown us through the law that the law is not the answer to us being with God. If you try and obey all the laws to try and get to God, you'll never get to God because you cannot obey all the laws. And so Jesus comes as the only one who's born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit, yet takes on flesh, takes on a human body just like ours, and lives a perfect, spotless life on this earth. I tell you, folk, we need to study the life of Jesus more than anything else in all the Scriptures. Study the life of Jesus, because everything points to Him. It's all about Him. All of the Old Testament is a setup for Jesus to come, because He's the one that saves us from sin, and He's the one that restores us back to His presence and back to fellowship with God. And so Jesus, not just bringing God's presence to earth wherever He went and wherever He walked, but as He said, it's not good for me to stay. It's better that I go, because when I go, the Holy Spirit will come, and then I will be with you. In fact, I and my Father and the Spirit will all be with you. So Jesus makes a way for God to be among us, sinners, turns us into saints by the power of His blood, which has been shed for us to be holy in His eyes, so that His Holy Spirit, His holy presence, can come and dwell among us. That's the whole point. God wants you, and God wants you to want Him. And as you have that relationship restored, it changes everything. You are designed and created as something in which God wants to dwell. You are an earth suit for Jesus. He, all of us here together as a church, do you not know, the Bible says it on 2-3 occasions, do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that all of us together are a house in which God lives? Isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't just die for us to be forgiven of sin. He died for us to be forgiven of sin and to have God's presence restored into our lives in a real and powerful way. When you've got the Creator inside of you, when you've got the God who can do anything inside of you, the God of miracles inside of you, folk, it changes your whole life. Would you agree? We're not looking for humdrum religion and same old when it comes to Christianity and reading the Bible. No, folk, there's so much more. What God has given us from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is His absolute written word. Nothing more needs to be added to it. That's it. But He applies it to every single one of our lives by His presence in our lives. So we need His word and we need His Spirit, because there's a reality to all of this that can flow from our lives on a day-to-day basis. And it's wonderful. It's powerful. God wants to do miracles. God wants to do things among us. He wants to change our normal everyday lives, our natural lives. Sometimes we do so much to try and keep the natural order of things intact. But I tell you, God wants to do things among us which are supernatural. And so much so that it becomes natural for us to be supernatural. Is that cool? So I don't want to use up all my points before I've even preached. But a few weeks ago, we were at a prayer meeting. And in the prayer meeting, God's presence was among us. Fuck, it's all about His presence, man. If you're scared of His presence, then tell that demon of fear to go away. Because he's trying to rob you of God. And if God's with you, it makes every bit of difference. Your whole purpose of living is to have God, to be full of God, to be full of Jesus, to be full of His Spirit. That's your whole purpose. I don't want to live with 20% of my purpose. Hello? I don't want to live with 1/7 of God's purposes for me, where I experience it for 1 hour, one day a week. I want to live in the fullness of God, the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of His Spirit, so that what we're seeing and hearing here is applied at home as I get home this afternoon, as it's applied as I drive in the traffic, as I get to my office, as I do work wherever I work, wherever you are, as you interact with people, as you interact with enemies and strangers and people who love you, everyone out there, all of this is for that. God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. You know, it says not a single hair falls from your head without him knowing. How does he know that? He's right there. He's looking and watching over you. You can see if a head falls off. A hair falls off. A head falls off. He doesn't want a single head to fall off either. Well, he knows anyway. But we were in his presence. We were worshiping together. We were praying. We were praying for people. And there was just a sense of more. We needed more. As people were praying for one another and we were prophesying over folk, just these words of encouragement were coming to people. And it seemed with such an ease to be able to communicate like that. And so I went home and I felt to look at the story of the woman at the well. Somebody came to me, Joy came to me at that prayer meeting, and she said, Brad, why don't we linger here longer? I said, you're absolutely right. So last week we preached on the woman of the well. This week we're going to preach on the woman at the well. Next week we're going to preach the woman at the well. John, possibly Hilton, you're going to preach the woman at the well. We're going to camp at the well until we get everything that we need from the well, until we're well enough to go well. Well, well, well. We need the well. And you know what? We're all running around with buckets with holes in it, or with buckets or nice buckets or whatever it is, trying to go to the wells of this earth to try and get something out and then go back, and then we pour it out on the things we've got to pour it out on, and we need more, and then we're going back to another well, and we're getting some more there, and we're going back, and we've got holes, and we're holding the holes together, and we're pouring it out, and we're coming back, and we never have enough. But you know what? That's the wrong well. All the stuff that we're trying to satisfy our hearts and our lives with, be it food, money, sex, fame, anything created on all the earth, it's going to run out because it's not from the right well. But when you go to Jesus, who's at the well, there's a well for water and there's Jesus. Jesus is the well that we need. Jesus is the source that never runs dry. Jesus has living water that keeps flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. And every single one of these circumstances and situations and inconveniences and things that are happening in our lives are trying to pull us away from Jesus. But folk, if you can just get something connected to Jesus and then take that hose pipe or whatever, you'll be able to pour it out over everything that's going wrong in your life. Because Jesus is the answer for everything. And you're going to have situations come up. Some of you are going to face some crazy things in this lifetime. I can guarantee it. You've faced some already. You're going to face more. I don't even have to prophesy it because Jesus said, in the end times, things are going to get troublesome. Didn't he say it? So don't thank Brad for saying inconvenience is coming your way. Thank Jesus because he said it's coming our way. But he's not doing it on purpose. He says, in this world you will face trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. He's the answer. Perhaps God allows all these things to happen in this world on purpose. Nothing happens without him allowing it. So why do you allow it, God? Well, I want you to come back to me. This world is falling, has fallen, but I've risen. Nothing makes him fall. So guys, let's get back to the well. And so we're going to read this morning John chapter 4 from verse 1 to verse 19. Is there a lady that likes reading? Who can read the scriptures with great gusto and authority? Who wants to read it this morning? Over the microphone. Who's scared to do it, but Jesus is saying, go for it. Huh? Is there? Come, please, Putty. The Lord bless you. John chapter 4, from verse 1 to 19. I'm trying to find John. Oh, you can read it off there if you like.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
John 4, verse
1 to 19.
John 4, verse 1 to 19. Can you hear? Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, weird as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet."
Beautiful, eh? Well done, Puti. Very good. Give her a hand. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that we can all speak your word. Thank you, God, that we can all hear your word and that you're speaking clearly to every one of us here. Your sheep hear your voice. And Lord God, you hear our voices. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you would speak clearly today. We pray, God, that even as I share, even as these words come, Lord, I pray that it would be you speaking to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there's incredible power in what Jesus says here. Initially, he's encouraging the woman to understand that his presence is a never-ending supply of living water that is so different to the earthly water that she's trying to drink. Remember, she's alone. She's come at midday. It's the sixth hour. It's the hottest time of the day, 12 o'clock. And she's come there because every other woman in the town would have fetched their water early in the morning. So she's trying to get away from people. She knows that there's a whole lot of things that people are saying about her. People are scorning her and all this kind of stuff. So she doesn't want to hang around where people hang around. So she comes on her own in the middle of the day at the worst time to possibly fetch water. And she meets Jesus at the well. And Jesus isn't concerned about the fact that she's a woman and Jews didn't speak, or men didn't speak much to women, that they didn't know. She's a Samaritan, and the Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. They hated them as a half-breed. They were racist, and everybody understood that these people didn't communicate with each other. And so Jesus breaks through all of that, and he asks a question, "Can you give me a drink?" You know, when Jesus is asking you for something, he's actually offering you something. He asks her for a little thing because he's actually offering her a life of eternal goodness. If she said, "No, I'm not going to give you one," she would not have got what Jesus was really wanting to offer her. And so sometimes God is going to ask you for a little thing. Maybe it's your tithe. Maybe it's an obedience factor. Maybe it's not living together before you married. Maybe it's whatever it might be. A whole lot of little things, because he's actually offering you a whole lot. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have his goodness. So sometimes it's that one command, that one thing. It's like, yes, I'll do everything, Lord, but then there's that one thing. A cup of water, please. Oh, hang on, Jesus. That's a bit much. A cup of water, really? In fact, everything that we have to offer in our entire lives to God is nothing at all. What can we give God that's going to satisfy him? I mean, he owns everything already. You see, so that's why when he's asking you for something, he's actually offering you eternity, a never-ending supply. So, folk, put your trust in him. And so, it gets to this point where he really addresses this woman and something starts to crack open in this woman's life. And Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come here. He cares about her. Naturally, one would imagine, why is this poor woman on her own in the middle of the day? Where's the partner that has been connected to her life? Where's the answer that God has provided for most men and women is good marriage. Hello? You know, when your marriage is bad, life is terrible. But when your marriage is good, it's like heaven. Hallelujah. And God has made it like that. He's intended that man should not be alone. Unless you've got a calling from God to be use you powerfully in your singleness, go for it. But he's called us to be together. There's something beautiful about the community of a husband and wife who are completely different, who have sin issues in their lives, who come together. And like, we can't really work it out, but we're going to try to work it out. And sometimes it's easy to work it out, but you know what? You need God to work it out. And so she sees this poor woman, and perhaps naturally, understanding the culture and the things of the day, says, where is your husband? Without anything supernatural whatsoever in that at all. Where's your husband? Amen? Any of us can ask a simple question. Where's the one that looks after you? Where's your partner? And she says, I have no husband. But this is where he gets supernatural. This is where it takes on a whole other level altogether. Because who could have told Jesus this? He says, you're right in saying, I have no husband. You have five husbands. You've had five. And the one you're with right now isn't your husband. And so the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And she's absolutely right. There's something beautiful. So I want to focus on the prophetic this morning and how amazing it is throughout the scriptures when people have perceived Jesus as a prophet, what it's meant for them, what it means for us to understand that Jesus is prophetic in every way. And so the prophetic is a wonderful thing. Jesus is operating in the gift of the Spirit. There is a thirsty life in front of him. And he wants to give his Spirit. And he wants to give his Spirit as a gift. The gift, if you knew who it was asking you for water, you would be asking him for the gift of God. So how many of us here know who it is that we're talking about in this passage? Jesus Christ. We've come to know Jesus Christ, right? And if the gift, according to the rest of Scripture, is eternity, is salvation, is righteousness by faith, is all these wonderful things, at the end of the day, it's all wrapped up in this. The gift is God himself. So if we know it's Jesus, and we know that gift is all-consuming and all-encompassing, then we simply need to ask. Who wants to ask this morning? If you knew the gift and the person, you would ask. Simply ask. Ask Jesus. And so he wants to give gifts. And so we're going to focus on the gifts of the Spirit this morning. So let's have a look at the nature of the gifts of the Spirit. Because Jesus is operating in them here. And it's something that he's given to every one of his followers. The gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy, like words of wisdom and words of knowledge, are for building people up. If God has given you any gift, physical, natural, or spiritual, it's for the sake of others to be built up. It's not just for you. It's not to keep it to yourself. Anything. I mean, there's some wonderful natural gifts. They're for others. And then it's God's will that every single one of you who believe in Jesus Christ will operate in, will manifest, demonstrate, and display the power of God through your lives. Do you know that that's his intention for every one of you? Yes or no? All I'm telling you now. His intention is for you to have the manifestation, the display, and the demonstration of himself in and through your life. It's his intention for all of us. He doesn't want you to just be a normal, natural, flesh and blood human being. He wants you to be a superhero. Come on. The whole world's crying out for a superhero. Man, they're crying out for a robot that's going to save us. And Marvel Comics and everything is the other gospel that the rest of the world are watching and reading and longing for. But Marvel Comics are not going to save us, folks. Jesus has given us himself. And it's not a machine that's going to save us. Have you heard of transhumanism? Transhumanism is the belief that we will save ourselves through the machines that we make. And Vorsprung Durch Technik and everything else, great. Yes, thank you very much. And we need to get all those things benefiting our lives as much as possible. But you know what? Machines are not going to save us, folk. You can wire yourself up to all kinds of machines. You can take your brain out and stick it onto a whole whatever. It's not going to save you. All the movies that are coming out now are all about consciousness and all these things being escaping this human body, which is evil, and get it into something which is supernatural, being a machine. Transformers and what are all the other funny movies that are going on? Iron Man and whatever else. Machines are not going to save us. I don't know how I'm getting onto this. I'm obviously watching way too many movies. So God's will is that everyone operates in his gifts and in his the supernatural abilities that he's made for us. Folk, you are a supernatural being. You live because God has breathed life into you. Do you know that? It's not just because you've got oxygen going in and out and a heart that's beating. God's life has been breathed into you at conception. God breathes that there is life there. It's powerful. An eternal soul exists forever when a man and a woman come together and that seed in that egg, an eternal soul is birthed right there forever, whose name will either be written in the Lamb's Book of Life or have hell forever. That soul will never, never die. That's incredible. You're supernatural, whether you like it or not. So let's use it in the right way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at the spiritual gifts, verse 1 to 11. Are we all okay? I don't know if I'm going to get through all of this, but you know what? We're going to camp at the well. We're going to stay at the well for weeks to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, concerning your superhero status, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Don't be ignorant of this. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And these are the varieties of service. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. Look at that. Gifts and service and activities. So get active. Get serving. And you'll be gifted. But it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And notice that. The whole Trinity is involved right there in those verses. Now, there are various gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All involved in wanting you to be supernatural. God is supernatural. We can't even figure out the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How does that work? Each person is distinct, yet they are so one. They've each got different roles and responsibilities, but their relationship and their equality is perfect in every way. For eternity past to eternity to come, Jesus didn't just start when he was born. Jesus has always been the Word become flesh. He was always there. The Father's always been there. The Spirit's always been there. They've always been together. And he's made you and I in his image and in his likeness. So there's something supernatural about God. And what he creates is powerful, folk. He's made you in an incredible way. We have to deal with the sin thing, because if we go along the sin route, it's terrible. And the way to be saved from that is to declare Jesus is Lord. That's how you are saved, folk. The only way you are saved is declaring Jesus as Lord. God does not send people to hell for sin. God sends people to hell who reject Jesus as Lord. That's the answer. You know, he will never send you to hell for your sin. Even if you sin while you believe it, that's not the issue. The point is Jesus your Lord? Because if Jesus is your Lord, man, you can deal with those things in your heart. And you know when you're out of line. And you can do things with him. But Jesus is Lord. That's the key. Is he your Lord this morning? And then verse 7. To each. Is anyone excluded? No. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's his desire. Isn't that beautiful? Doesn't it make you hungry? Doesn't it want to make you go to the well and get a little bit of that living water? Jesus says in another place in John 7, he says, this water, no, I think it's even in this passage, this water becomes a spring of living water from you. So where this woman at the well is thirsty and she meets Jesus, eventually Jesus completely changes her life and turns her life right around when she realizes this is the Messiah, because he says to her, I, who you speak to, am he, the Messiah. She puts her faith in him. She leaves her jar at the well. She doesn't even need that anymore. The earthly water she was coming for, she's left to the side, and she goes into the town. A woman who wants to be alone now wants to be among everyone, and she goes and she says, I found the one who told me everything about my life. She must have been walking around with this thing in her mind. I'm just a woman that's had 5 husbands, and the one I'm with now isn't my husband. That's all she had in her mind. And when Jesus says to her, you're right, you've had 5 husbands, and the one you're with now isn't your husband, she says, you've just told me all about me. That was her whole identity was on that thing. And he unpacks it in one sentence. She goes, she's transformed. She goes to a city. And you know what she does? She tells them all, come and see. And she's pumping out living water to a whole city. Where she was looking for a well, she becomes a well. And she pumps it out to a whole city. And that city all come. And they look at Jesus and they say, wow. Because you said it, we believe. But now we know that this is the Savior of the world. Read the whole chapter, folk. It's beautiful. He wants to turn you into a spring of living water. Everybody's thirsty. Everybody's trying to drink water that they have to drink again. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's salary runs out. Everybody's patience is running out. Everybody's like, what? Do I have to vote again? Hope you register. Do it today. But everybody's longing for all that kind of stuff. But you know what, folk? It's the wrong well. Jesus is the well. And he wants to make you a well. And he's supernatural in how he releases the gift. Which gift do you think was operating when Jesus spoke to that woman? I think it's the word of knowledge. He knew something that nobody else could know. Initially he says, where's your husband? That's not prophetic. That's just loving and kind. And natural. And maybe using a bit of wisdom. Do you know that? Listen to the spiritual gifts again. Let me just quickly run through them there. The utterance of wisdom. All of us need to be wise. Hello? But there's a time when the Spirit of God gives you something which is an empowered supernatural wisdom that no one could have known. All of us, it says utterance of knowledge. All of us need to have knowledge. Ultimately, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need to have knowledge. You need knowledge, but there's a time when the Holy Spirit gives you an utterance of knowledge that nobody else could possibly have known. That's supernatural. So it's natural and supernatural. Look here, it says faith. All of us need to have faith. Would you agree? Because you're saved by believing that Jesus is Lord and that he died and he rose again. That's faith. It takes faith to believe in that. Every one of us needs to have faith, but there's a time when the Spirit of God gives you a supernatural faith. We just know that you know that God's spoken something, His word has come to you, you believe, and you're able to communicate things that nobody else has ever even thought of. It's a supernatural thing. Then we've got healing. Every single one of us can walk and should walk in healing. If not just for your own body, lay your hands on your spouse when she's saying she needs to go to the doctor next time. Hello? Pray for people. He said all believers will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. Anyone who believes. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe it? So we all need to have faith. We all need to walk in healing. But there's a time when the Spirit of God just does something supernatural as far as healing is concerned. Folk, I don't know this stuff so well, to be honest with you. The scripture even says, don't be ignorant of it. I know I've been ignorant of it in my life. And when it happens, I don't even know what's going on. But I've seen times, there's been seasons when God supernaturally just heals a whole lot of people just by simply laying hands on them and praying for them. I remember praying for a little boy who had a strabismus in his eyes. One of his eyes was skewed. He was getting headaches every time he tried to read and he couldn't do his homework. We prayed for him. His eyes straightened out. What could I do? What if I didn't believe God did miracles today, I wouldn't even pray for the guy. So you better go and get some really thick glasses, buddy. But just pray for him and his eyes are healed. I don't know. Another man comes to my house, he sits down on the couch around the same time, and he props all these cushions underneath himself and puts out there, and he's sitting there like, man, what's the matter? Hey, my back, for years I've had this back problem, doctors, medicine, all this kind of, hey man, I said, I prayed for a guy, God straightened his eye out, I'm sure he can straighten your back out. I prayed for him. The next week I hear, his wife gets home, and he's dressed in a running outfit. And she says, are you going running? He says, I've just been running. Completely healed. Hasn't had a single problem with his back to that day. A girl in the church, Rejoice's daughter, Nklantla, has a cavity in her leg. Under an x-ray, there's like a cavity within her leg. It's causing her leg to buckle and her knees going in like this and she can't walk properly. We prayed for her. The next week, she's fine. She's running around all over the place. And there's two x-rays. There's an x-ray with a hole in the leg and an x-ray without the hole in the leg. And the doctors are saying there's something wrong with the x-ray machine. Come on, man. What, standing up here one day just saying, I pray against flu. You know that you don't need to have cold caps to get rid of flu. Just pray against flu. Guy at the back sitting on the sound desk, he's had weeks of it, antibiotic course after course. He gets up the next morning, he's completely clear. He tells me on the Friday, oh, yo, I haven't had flu. I'm like, Lord Jesus, He's the God of miracles. He wants to do these things. And you know what? He wants to use you. Jesus said this, it's not good that I am only one on this earth in one place at one time. How's everybody going to try to find that well? Jesus knew. Everybody tried to touch him, grab him. Crowds surrounded him. Now, he says, you know what? I'm going to blast this thing out in such a powerful, major way. I'm going to breathe upon everyone as I stand up out of that tomb alive. And everyone's going to have my spirit. And everyone's going to be a well full of living water to the whole world. That's powerful. That's what he's doing. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel isn't that he died and rose again. That's incomplete. That's only half the job. The gospel is He died, He rose again, He's ascended into heaven, He's poured out the Spirit upon us so that we can go out and tell the world and change the world with the same power that was upon Him now in us. Drink at my well, Jesus says, and you will become a spring of living water. That's what He wants to teach us. This is why we got to camp at the well. We've forgotten these things, folk. Oh, Lord. For all of us, naturally supernatural, supernaturally natural. We don't have to be spooky though, you know. I think God can sometimes lead us to do some things which are very weird. But it's not about trying to be like that. Oh, says the Lord, I've got a word for you. No, man. Just naturally go over to a person and say, man, I really feel like God wants to encourage you. I just sense something in my heart for your life. You don't even have to mention a sense from God. You just go over to someone and say, hey man, are you battling with something in your relationships or whatever? And their whole life opens up. And as you sit there, an idea will just come to your mind that you couldn't have got from anywhere else. An idea that the Spirit of God, because He wants to manifest Himself in each one of us, just comes into your mind. You're like, wow, is this your sixth relationship? Like, how did you know that? Oh, you know, Jesus just wants to heal you. Jesus wants to just touch you. You know how many women there are running around trying to find something to satisfy them? Just a cup of water. You know how many men there are that are just lost, broken, all over, walking past us, and we the well. And they live next door to us, and they're in the shops where we shop, and they're begging on the streets where we live, and they're looking for a political bucket to answer their problem. Fuck, it's us. It's you and me. That's who God is giving the Holy Spirit to, His church. So why don't you get involved in politics, Brad? The only way I'm ever going to get involved in politics is by being a well of living water to a politician. And when he can do what God's called him to do. But for us, folk, let's be the well of living water that anyone, a Samaritan woman, can come and sit down and talk to you, as inconvenienced as you are, because he was wearied and he was tired. And he was on a path he didn't really need to go, but he was going that way because the Lord was leading him that way. It was terrible. Inconvenience. But it was a spiritual opportunity. God changed that whole city because of him. I want to tell you so much more. Wow. Jesus is walking in this town, and there's a funeral procession. And there's a widow who's lost her husband, and now she's lost her son, and her son's in the coffin. And she's weeping, and she's walking, and they're carrying the coffin because they're going to bury him. And Jesus sees this. He sees another woman who needs a well, and he walks over there, and he touches the coffin, and the man gets out. Can you imagine how that woman must praise and worship Jesus that he's just raised her dead son back to life? And everyone says, he's a prophet. That's what it says in Luke chapter 7. A great prophet is among us. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 16. Then it's Luke chapter 7, verse 36. A man is sitting in a Pharisee's house. Jesus sitting there. And a sinful woman comes in, a prostitute. She's probably, I don't know, she's just done it all. She comes in there. She's lies down at his feet. And she just weeps on his feet, weeps on Jesus' feet, and washes his feet with her hair, and pours out all her perfume all over Jesus' feet. And the Pharisee Simon says, ha, if this guy was a prophet, you know what kind of sinful woman this is. And Jesus just says, you know what? He who's been forgiven much loves much. And while Simon is judging her and judging Jesus as a negative, as a no good prophet, Jesus shows what a good prophet is all about. He says, you are forgiven of all your sin. Go and sin no more. How wonderful. When the prophetic comes, it doesn't just raise the dead. When the prophetic comes, it sets people free from sin and shows them the forgiveness of God. What a prophet who comes up and says, oh, I can see you've been sinning, brother. I know what you've been doing in front of your computer last night. What's that? Only if it comes with a better voice. And with God forgives you, and God wants to set you free. God doesn't want to throw our laundry around for us to be embarrassed. He wants to heal and cover and love so that we respond with the rest of our lives just for Him. People don't want to run away from God. You know, when I just got saved, many that day when I walked into the church and you were preaching, I still had a lot of rubbish in my life. Manny knows. He helped me get rid of that rubbish over a few years. There's still some rubbish, man. He's helping me get out. But, fuck, bring your friends, man. They're not going to get judged, yeah. We want to love them. And as messed up as their lives are, so messed up, let them be. But Jesus will heal them. And Jesus is the antidote. And as they drink of the well and not the other junk, these lives are going to start to get cleansed and washed and healed. Something's happening in this place. Amen? God's healing and touching people. Well, let's go and tell others to come and see. Come and see what Jesus does. I will make it my life goal to make it about Jesus and what He does and nothing else. And if it's ever anything other, remove me. But let's keep Jesus doing what He does and healing and touching and saving and restoring people's lives. And folk, you can do it too. You need to realize this. I've got so many other scriptures. Just go to Google. Or go on your Bible. If you've got YouVersion Bible apps or Olive Tree or whatever you use, they're brilliant. And just search prophet and see how many times it's referenced to Jesus in the Gospels. And then you'll have my whole preach, and then you don't have to come. I'm joking. Holy Spirit.